that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
Thank you, Jean. And Jean will be presenting her ministry at our 11:30 service, so I encourage you to be a part of that. We're in Genesis chapter 22 this morning. Let's bow our heads right now for prayer. Father, what a great privilege to worship. And you have lifted up my heart this morning, and I rejoice in that. And Father, it truly doesn't come from circumstances, and it doesn't come from people, but it comes from you as you work out your purpose and your good pleasure in the lives of people. And as we share your word and as we are glad in you, Father, we're encouraged and strengthened. We thank you. Thank you that you've given us a glimpse of yourself, of your purpose. And God, it just moves us to love you. We praise you and thank you. Help us now. May our ears be open to your truth. May you change us today. Father, we all need it. No one has arrived, Father. And yet, God, we look with great expectation to how you will sanctify us this day, or perhaps even bring someone to you in salvation. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to begin today with a propositional statement that will form the basis of a short sermon series in November and December. And here's the statement. So this statement then will run through all of our studies in the next few weeks. Here it is. God is always at work moving us to trust Him. Let me say it again. God is always at work moving us to trust Him. If I put this question into a more personal form, it would be something like this. Will I live my life trusting God, or will I live my life trusting myself? Now keep in mind, folks, that God is always working to move us away from a trust in ourselves to a trust in Him. And this is what we call sanctification. This is what we call spiritual growth. And God will make sure that we have plenty of opportunities to trust Him. As a matter of fact, you think about it this morning, the whole Bible is a record of God giving people the opportunity to trust Him. And some do, and some don't. And some do for a while, and then they don't. And this is exactly what happens in our lives almost every day. And yet, when we think about that life that we live and we think about trusting God or trusting ourselves, folks, I would say to you clearly that God is greatly, greatly glorified when we trust Him. This is what He desires. This is how we can glorify Him. So what I'd like to do in the next few weeks is to look at some examples of people who trusted God from the Scriptures, and our first example is Abraham. Abraham's life could be described as a life of trust or a life of faith in God. And his trust in God was not a one-time thing. It was not a one decision and then it's over and it's done with. But we see in Abraham's life that it was a continual trust in God. And folks, our lives should be the same. God made sure that Abraham always faced opportunities to trust God. So what I'd like to do this morning is zero in, focus in on a certain event in the life of Abraham. We find it here in Genesis chapter 22. It's a familiar passage. How did Abraham trust God? And from Abraham this morning, we want to learn to trust God in a time of testing. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22. The first truth we see in this passage is this, that God's testing is real. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. If you are a child of God here this morning, you have or you will face the testing of God. Here we see that God tested Abraham. Now please don't be confused by that word tempt. That's used in some translations. It doesn't mean to be tempted to do evil, but it does mean to test or to be tried or to be proven. Folks, God never tempts us to do evil, nor is He tempted. But God, after many years of working with and on Abraham, would now test him. He would prove him. He would confirm Abraham's faith and dependence on God. Now, folks, God knew Abraham's heart, just as He knows our hearts here today. Can't hide anything from God. He knows our hearts right now. God knew Abraham's heart. He knew the deepness of his faith, but God wanted Abraham to put that faith into action. And it's not that Abraham had not in his life. If we took the time and we looked at the life of Abraham, we would see that that took place. But yet there's a truth there even for us now because that continues. It doesn't happen once and then it's done and it's finished, but God continues to work in our lives, and we see that in the life of Abraham. And so when God tests or proves us, it's to prove our faith and to draw us closer to Himself. There are some characteristics of this testing that are found in this passage. Let me share with you two of those characteristics. Think now about the testing that God brings into our lives. First of all, when God tests His children, He prepares us. God never sneaks up on our blind side simply to trip us up or to knock us down. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, when he says, God will not test us beyond what we are able. And so God doesn't just blindside us with a test. God prepares us for the testings of life. God wants us to pass the test. He prepares us for the test. Where Satan tempts to bring out evil, God tests to bring out good. And so, folks, God prepared Abraham. He used many tests and trials to do that. At this point in Abraham's life, he was close to the Lord. His family was in order. He was secure materially. He had many friends. He had great respect in the area in which he lived. And most of all, he was the friend of God. He was close to God. You see, folks, God prepared Abraham for this test. And God will prepare us for the test that He sends into our lives. There's a second characteristic of this testing I would share with you, and that characteristic is this, that God's test may come when we least expect it. And so God will prepare us for the test, and yet we don't decide when the testing takes place. Sometimes the testing comes when we least expect it. For Abraham, things were going good. Life was smooth when suddenly he faced the greatest test of his life. See, we look at the life of Abraham and we might say, well, the greatest test was when God called him out of
Ur of the Chaldeans, and then he responded to God, and yet God worked in all of those things. And yes, that was the hand of God in his life. And as Abraham responded, and you think of the life of Abraham, there were ups and downs as he trusted God or he trusted himself. We see that in his life. And yet, God now brings him to this point where he will test him. And brothers and sisters, he faced the greatest test of his life. We think about it in our own lives, and it seems like one day everything's going fine, and the next day everything falls apart. You know what I'm talking about? Have you been there? And you know, it seems to be God's pattern, if there is such a thing of God's pattern, when we're working out everything smoothly on one spiritual level in our lives and things seem to be going good with God and with others around us, then God tests us to raise us up to the next level. You see, God is never finished in our lives. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle James in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, its mature work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing." You see, God's design is that testing brings maturity, and maturity brings closeness to God. If we would say that in New Testament language, God's purpose is to make us like Christ. God's purpose is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And folks, that's what maturity is all about. Now, God will often remove the things in our lives that hinder our closeness. Look at verse 2, Genesis 22, verse 2. God says to Abraham, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love." Here it is. God's putting his finger on the fact that Isaac is the center of Abraham's life. And folks, here's the problem. That place of center belongs only to God. And so God was working to draw Abraham closer to himself, and God is faithfully working to do the same thing in our lives today. And like Abraham, we are now, or we will soon learn the reality of God's testing. Notice now a second truth in this passage. God desires a right response. God desires a right response to this testing. Look at verse 6. "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together." Folks, I want you to think about it just for a moment, because what God asked Abraham to do seemed inconsistent. Now you look at that and you might say, well, it seems a lot of things. God asked him to sacrifice his son. And that's hard for us to comprehend. That's hard for us to even fathom, to even imagine that God would do that. But keep in mind now, God is testing Abraham. And you know the end of the story. You know how it plays out and how it works out. But put yourself right at this moment in what's happening in Abraham's life. It seems that God asked him to do something that really makes no sense. God had promised Abraham that he would establish his covenant with Abraham, and he would do it with Isaac. But now suddenly, without warning, God speaks to Abraham and tells him to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. And so it doesn't make sense for God to take Isaac's life. Without Isaac, there would be no more descendants and no more covenant and no blessing for the world. You see, that's what God promised Abraham. And he promised that he would do that through his son. And there was no earthly way to harmonize God's previous promise with his present command. And though we can't get into Abraham's mind and his heart, what we do see are his actions, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And yet, can you imagine just the struggle? Perhaps it was just for a short time, but can you imagine what Abraham is thinking when he receives this command from God? Go now and offer your son as a burnt sacrifice. Every part of that command was clear. And folks, there are only two choices. And there are always only two choices. You either obey God. You see, the first choice is obedience, and this obedience would be total and complete. Folks, you can't sacrifice someone halfway. You can't offer a burnt sacrifice that's only half done. So the first choice is obedience, and the second choice is disobedience. And this is a complete rejection of God's command. He would either sacrifice his son or he wouldn't. And I would stand before you and say that every testing has the same response. It's either obey God or it's disobey God. We either move closer to God through obedience or we move away from God through disobedience. And I've seen both responses from people, and I have experienced both responses. When we're faced with a crisis, when we're faced with a crossroads, a testing by God, we choose either to obey or we choose to disobey. And what was Abraham's response? We're not told what any dialogue, if any, that went on between God and Abraham, but we know this, that Abraham had to take an absolute step of faith in the God who had never failed him or who had never let him down. And look now at the evidence of that faith. First of all, there was obedience to God's command. Go back to verse 3. So God tells him to take his son, his only son, and to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Verse 3 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. What can you say about that response by Abraham? He obeyed. And he obeyed immediately. He rose early and he obeyed the command of God. And he took two servants, Isaac, the wood for the burnt offering, and he proceeded to Moriah. Folks, Abraham's obedience was evidence of his faith. Our obedience is evidence of our faith. And obedience is the evidence of trusting God. There's another proof. There was faith in God's word. Look at verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Do you see that? And I emphasize that. We will come back to you. Whatever would happen at Moriah, Abraham had confidence that they would both return. And folks, don't misunderstand this, because Abraham had full intention of offering Isaac as a burnt offering to the Lord, but he firmly believed that Isaac would live again. Hold your place in Genesis 22 and turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews gives us some insight here. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17. The writer says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said in Isaac, 'Your seed shall be called,' concluding," look at this now, "concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." You see, both Abraham and Sarah were dead in their bodies, and God gave them that son. And now the writer of Hebrews helps us understand that when Abraham took that boy up on that mountain, that Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead. And he obeyed God. He submitted to God. He had come too far and experienced God's faithfulness too often to doubt God now. He knew God would carry out his purpose, and he knew that God would keep his promise. Abraham had faith in God's word. Can you imagine how different our lives would be every day if we lived consistently in the promises of God? I mean, I pray that we're moving in that direction, and that's the direction of our lives, but yet we have to admit that there's a struggle, is there not? And see, it goes back to what we said earlier. It's a struggle between whether we will trust God or whether we will trust ourselves. Abraham had faith in God's word. There's a third proof of that faith. There was confidence in God's provision. Look at verse 7. "But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' And so the two of them went together." So now for a moment, think about Isaac, because he knew from the beginning that a sacrifice was to take place, but he was puzzled because there was no animal for the sacrifice. And it's like he says, "Well, I see the fire and I see the wood, Father, but where is the lamb?" And his father's response was reassuring. Abraham said, "God will provide it." And again, I say to you this morning, how different would our lives be if we would really believe, as we say, whatever the circumstance, God will provide. God will provide. Now see, we may say that, and yet do we believe that God will provide? Oftentimes when we say it, we actually have expectations and we have determined how God should provide something, and yet how different our lives would be if we simply say, "God will provide. God's made promises to me, and I will believe His promises." When we respond in obedience and faith and confidence, God will provide. I want you to think about the test, because the real test here centers around Abraham's devotion to God. And I've said it this before, and I'll say it again, because it's so real in our own lives. You see, we're growing in Christ and we're obeying, and yet there's a fight against sin, and that's the way the Christian life is. And we're moving, we're getting closer to God, and we're maturing, and sanctification is taking place, and we're thinking to ourselves, "I'm on the right path and I'm growing, and praise God, this is happening." And yet, brothers and sisters, we must be reminded that there will always be a fight and there will always be a struggle. Abraham's devotion to God is the question here. After all that he's been through and everything that God has done in his life, see, there is no question that Abraham loved God, and he had proved it over and over in his life, but he also loved Isaac, the son of promise. And God tested Abraham in the most precious and sensitive area of his life. Was he willing to obey God? Would he submit to God's will or his own will? And so it shouldn't surprise us to be suddenly confronted with a choice between the things or the thing that is dearest in our lives and the God that we love. And I would say to you that this is a decision that we must make every day of our lives. And it's from these tests that we will see just how strong our love is for God or isn't for God. And again, we face these tests every day, not exactly like Abraham's, but our devotion to God is tested. It might be our time. It might be our hobbies. It might be a job. It might be a talent or a skill. It might be material possessions. It might even be our family. So this then becomes the great challenge in our lives because, folks, we tend to love what God gives more than God Himself. And God knows this. And over in the Scriptures, over and over to His people, in different ages, God clearly gives the command to love Him most and to put Him first and to make Him the center and the focus of our lives. And it's always the question then that we have to answer every day, almost every moment, will I love God the most? Will I put God first? So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on his son, and he took in his own hand the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. And when they came to that place where God had told him, Abraham built the altar, he arranged the wood, and then he bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the wood. And then Abraham raised the knife to slay his son. And then a voice cried out from heaven. And it's here that we see a third truth about testing and a wonderful truth about God. Look at verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, here I am. Can you imagine how fast he said that? And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Brothers and sisters, God honored Abraham's faithful obedience. And just as he reached out his hand to kill Isaac his son, the Lord intervened and stopped him. And once again he heard that familiar voice, and never had he heard such words, don't harm him. I know you fear God because you're willing to give your son. And folks, from God's perspective, Abraham had already offered his son. It's like he passed the course without turning in the final exam. And what Abraham loved and was willing to sacrifice, God gave back. And what sometimes keeps us from serving God faithfully, God will take and then return when we surrender it to Him. And oftentimes, He'll not provide till we've come to the end of our resources and our strength. God provided a substitute for Isaac, and Abraham found a ram, and he offered it in Isaac's place. You see, Abraham knew his God. And he told Isaac that the Lord would provide a sacrifice, and just at the right time, the Lord did. And therefore, Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh, Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And folks, it never fails when we submit, God will lift us up. When we obey, God will provide. When we give it all to Him, He will give back in His own special, blessed way. It may not be the way that we expected. It may not be the way that we asked, but God will provide. And when we give it all to Him, He will give it back God's way. And those who respond to God in faith during tests forever can call them by this name. The Lord will provide. God is a provider, and He always supplies the right thing at the right time and the right place. And He will grow our faith, and He will keep us focused, and He will make us fruitful. So I ask you this morning, is there anything that you're holding to? What is your Isaac this morning? Jess Pearson, don't answer that. Her son's name is Isaac. What is your Isaac? Is it your job? A relationship, a possession, a retirement, a college plan, a job plan? Is it a wife? Is it a husband? Is it a child? Is it a parent? Is it simply yourself and your control and your rule and your authority in life? And folks, these things are not bad things, but they can become more important than God. And God will bring us to a point where we must decide. God wants us to trust Him and not the gifts that He's given to us. So what is most important in your life? What occupies first place in your heart? What are you willing to give up for God? It's only as we sacrifice what is most important that we will discover that God is most important. When we trust God, we will know Him as the Lord who provides. There's nothing that God will not do for the man or the woman who dares to step out in faith on the God who promises and the God who provides. And so when your test comes, and folks, it will come. It's not if it will come, it will come. The test will come. Remember Abraham. It can't get any harder than this. But Abraham trusted God. He obeyed God in faith, and the Lord provided, and the Lord will do the same for you and for me. Let's bow our heads.